This is Digital Dave again.
And I'm Fast Eddie. We're back.
And this is Hot Start.
Yes, it is. And with us today, we have the Coast Guard and...
The Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Exactly. Wait a minute.
They're different.
They are different.
See?
You know, it makes me wonder. I'll bet you there's a story behind that.
Sure. The Coast Guard, like most military, believe in redundancy. So if the first one breaks down, they send out the auxiliary.
Wait a minute.
Is that even close, guys?
There's some truth in that story.
I thought it was the other way around.
He's not looking happy about it down there. Anyway, we have Larry Santos and Jim Elliott from the U.S. Coast Guard and Coast Guard Auxiliary. So starting off, what is the difference?
I'll let my active duty counterpart start off.
Yeah. The Coast Guard has obviously a large active duty component, and we have about 46,000 active duty members, and about 7,000 aviation members. And the Coast Guard Auxiliary kind of supplements us in certain areas that we don't have a lot of time or resources to do. So they come in and back us up with patrols, and they also have a pretty large aviation component as well.
Okay, now would it be like the Army Reserves? In other words, guys rotating out of active duty can go into the auxiliary for a little more time?
The Coast Guard does have a reserve program, and actually a reserve member as well. But the auxiliary is a voluntary workforce, and folks basically donate their aircraft or their boat and support Coast Guard missions. So, for instance, the active duty side may go out and maybe flying all night, and the next morning, hey, these guys are a little tired. They've met their flight window for being able to fly. They don't necessarily want to call in another crew for what we call a first light search, so they would possibly use an auxiliary aircraft to go out and do that first light search.
Wow. Now, do they give you fuel for doing that at least?
They do. They make a little bit of a payment on the engine repair cost and pay for the gas.
And it's a good excuse to go fly.
It is. And always a great day to go fly.
Yeah, there you go. Except you're usually over water. That's the part I'm not too sure about.
Maybe they ought to start getting into those super sea winds, you know?
There you go. You could search a lot of ground in a hurry. Except that you might not see the little guy bobbing in the water down there.
So what are the duties that you're involved with? I know that search and rescue is a big portion of it, but the Coast Guard does a lot of other things too. What are you guys typically up to on a normal day?
Well, the like you said, search and rescue is kind of our bread and butter. That's where we spend most of our time. But the Coast Guard also has a significant role in law enforcement, both here and overseas as well. So we do a lot of law enforcement, counter-drug patrols down in the Caribbean.
Do you do any interdictions, like planes trying to sneak up from Cuba and South America into Florida?
Not so much aviation to aviation, but more air to sea. So yeah, we do that, and then on the West Coast, down on the Mexican side. So.
Okay.
Yeah, as a C-130 pilot, I flew for about 10 or 15 years with the Coast Guard, and first off, they sent me to rough, arduous overseas back-to-back tours, Puerto Rico and Hawaii.
Oh yes,
very
that
terrible
was terrible.
Places,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The horror,
the food.
So the C-130 that I flew just had a very diverse type of missions, as he said, search and rescue. 6 months out of the year in Elizabeth City, we go up to St. John's, Newfoundland, deploy out of there and look for icebergs of all things.
Hmm.
There's about 30 countries. You know, after the Titanic, they had that little incident with a little bit of ice in the water.
Well, he was just stopping to pick up ice. I don't understand what the fuss was about.
Yeah, really.
So after that, about 30 nations got together, all kicked into a pot of money, and we go up there for about 6 months out of the year and look for icebergs and kind of mark that off. And basically tell the shipping community, stay south of this point, and that will 99.9% keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, there's always that one guy wants to go buzzing through the ice field. Yeah, look at us. We're dumb.
Yes, yeah. Never mind. Do you guys tag them or anything like that so that you know they've been spotted?
Long ago they did, but with the radar search, the type of radar equipment that we have on the aircraft today, it's basically go out, search the whole area, and just identify those most southern points that contain ice.
Okay, and you're not trying to track them or establish how fast they're moving. You don't really care.
No.
Just to stay away from them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that you're going out every day and looking at these icebergs as well.
Our typical trip up there, because of the weather, we would deploy for approximately 2 weeks. We'd plan for about 4 days of flying, mostly due to the weather. And basically, during those 4 days, we would cover four sectors between Iceland, Greenland, and Nova Scotia, that area there.
You know, you talked about the C-130. If you have to do a rescue where, say, a fishing boat or something is taking on water, is the C-130 able to drop, like, a life raft out the back?
They most certainly are. So we have a couple of kits made up. We can drop radio in case we need to talk to somebody. We can drop rafts, some limited food supplies. And if they're in great need, medical assistance or whatever, we can partner with other military agencies and actually put a small raft and a couple of pararescue men, and we've actually sent some people out the back of the
As I say, they grab a doctor and throw him out.
Your turn, Doc. Sorry.
That's pretty close. We had a case out in Hawaii where Christmas Island was about a four-hour flight from Hawaii, so about 2.5 hours into the flight, we dropped these guys out, four pararescue men, and they basically treated the guy and then sailed with him back to port.
Oh, and they were so upset about that.
Well, it definitely is a challenging environment, that's for sure, but did it have a happy ending?
Certainly did. The guy got his medical supplies
And the other guys had a nice cruise.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, you got to fly this thing back.
You're at work going, okay, what are we going to do today? I think I'm going to go sailing in the middle of the South Pacific.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
It's great work if you can get it.
Now, the Coast Guard's charged with the protection of our coastlines, but with all the crazy deployments we saw during Iraq and everything else, did you guys end up overseas?
We did support some overseas operations, yes. And we still have some over there in the waterways, supporting some of those operations as well. So, not a huge component, but we do go over there.
Yeah, that's something you probably weren't thinking about when you signed that little piece of paper.
Correct.
What do you mean you're sending me to the desert? I don't want to go to the desert.
You know, what kind of equipment do you have in the water? We've been talking about aircraft and everything. We know you've got fixed wing, rotary wing. What kind of equipment do you have actually in the water?
Boats.
Smarty.
Lots and lots of boats.
I was wondering what kind of boats.
Oh.
Are they big boats, small boats, you know?
Boats that climb on rocks.
Yeah.
Sorry. Couldn't resist.
Good God.
Anyway.
Because we're kind of a coastal defense, we typically have some of these smaller, what we call cutters. So 110, some of the smaller boat stations would have 87s down to 26, 22 feet. Our largest ships are in the 400 to 500-foot range.
And those are on long-term patrol. They're not, like, sent out every day from a port. They're out at sea.
Right.
Wow, just covering the ground, going back and forth.
You guys are also involved with harbor surveys, too. You're always patrolling the harbors looking for things that are, say, out of place.
Certainly, and that's one of the missions that the Coast Guard Auxiliary does very well. So your typical guy that joins the auxiliary, he's living in that same place 10, 20 years, volunteers for the auxiliary, very familiar with all the areas. One of the missions that we used to do down in North Carolina is we would clear military firing ranges for other military services. So we would make sure that boats and people were not in these areas when the fighter aircraft were dropping bombs and whatnot.
Darn. Yeah,
that would great view, but you know, you never know when a fighter pilot's going to get lucky and actually hit something.
Nice. Okay. Let's trash the armed services.
No, come on. I'm only kidding, guys.
There's that. So there you go.
Okay, thank you.
What's the funniest thing you've ever had happen on a rescue?
Oh, I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, well, either of you.
We did a rescue up in Lake Superior a couple months ago, and a gentleman on his sailboat was experiencing some rough seas up there. I know you might think the lake rough seas doesn't make sense, but it does get quite big out there. And we pulled him up and his dog and got the dog inside the aircraft, and the dog freaked out and kind of released itself.
Oh, jeez.
And so the flight back to the airport was, we had all the windows open that we could
clean up an aisle seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So,
but yeah.
So. Wow. That one will be forever etched in your mind.
Yep. I definitely know that dog was scared.
Yep. I'm surprised you didn't lighten the load on the way up.
Yeah, on the lift.
I was hoping that the dog didn't jump out of the aircraft, because that would be very bad.
I think they were both very happy to be in the aircraft. So,
And I always wondered, what happens with the boat? You just let it go adrift?
Yeah, it just, you know, we're not there to save their property. They were there to save their lives. But okay.
Yeah, we've actually had boats where we've picked up people off the North Carolina coast, and 3 years later, it kind of gets caught up in the Gulf Stream, and we'll find it 2 or 3 years later.
Wow, still seaworthy.
Yeah, it's a freebie. Go out there and grab it.
Are you
put
serious?
Your name on it.
Yep, yeah, maritime law. If you abandon the ship, first person that comes and gets it, it's theirs.
Very, very true.
Okay, I just thought of a new career.
I was just thinking somebody could
and
do that with an airplane.
And I know somebody who's a C-130 pilot experienced in
yeah.
that search.
Are you willing to jump out of a C-130, though?
Oh, well.
Yeah, there is a downside.
Then I'm not even sure which is the front end of a boat, so that could be a problem.
Well, it sounds like you guys lead very interesting lives. What was your best day in the Coast Guard?
His last.
No. I've been in the Coast Guard for 32 years, and I'm currently serving as a senior reserve officer for Sector North Carolina. But I really have not had a bad day in the Coast Guard.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I was active duty for almost 18 years. I'm still a reservist, and I joined the auxiliary. So I'm one of those guys that can't get enough Coast Guard.
Yeah, that's right. Can't get enough water in boats. And he lives in North Carolina, so that's cool.
Well, yeah, we got family near Elizabeth City, North Carolina. So when you're flying around, wave, okay?
There you go. We've been speaking with Jim Elliott and Larry Santos of the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.